Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Lawrence.
Good morning to you. It is a Tuesday. Man, we have run the gamut on this show, from traumatic weekend experiences with my dog. I'm telling you, she induces more trauma in the house than really anything or anyone else. Poor thing. She just can't hear. She's just a mess. She's a klutz anyway. And falling down the stairs scared me half to death, scared her half to death. Goodness. So I'll be interested to see how she is when I get home. But thank you for your tweets. You're very nice. I know Penny means a lot to you. I've been sharing Penny stories on the show ever since I got her. I mean, I literally adopted her months before I started here on CBS Sports Radio. And she's been running my life for the better part of 11 and a half years, which means she's been the subject of some of my best stories for 11 and a half years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. A few of my weekend highlights are there on Twitter. And then my fun news, I hope many of you can identify. It was definitely a jolt of joy on Monday, but I'll make you go to either Twitter or Facebook to check it out. Facebook After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We have talked about some of the various baseball headlines, of course. We're not quite to the stretch run, but maybe 2 weeks away. And we ran through the NFC version of QB news, including that Brock Purdy has cleared another hurdle in his attempt to be ready for week one in the NFL. He's now allowed to practice 3 days in a row. Let's go. Let's effing go. We need Tom Brady to drop the LFG. I guess now he has to live vicariously through other quarterbacks. Or with the other football. Boy, he is divesting his business ventures into soccer across the pond, or their football, the Euro leagues, not to mention the Raiders. Don't you think he should be at camp with the Raiders if he's a part owner, or nah? Is that beneath him? Is that too hard, do you think?
It'd be nice of him to show up, yeah, and give some insight.
If he and Josh McDaniels are tight, maybe he can offer McDaniels some words of wisdom.
You know what? The rumors would go wild, though. Oh, Tom Brady's at Raider camp.
But he has just as much right to be there as any other part owner of the Raiders.
I agree.
And no doubt Mark Davis would love to have him there. It'd be very high profile. A lot of headlines. Tom Brady's made it very clear he's moving on to his broadcasting / business phase of his professional life. We ran a poll not that long ago asking you if you all would miss Tom Brady in the football field. It was 77%, I think, 76, 77% said, nah, end to the no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty decisive with our poll. So we got you loud and clear. But I don't think it would raise a lot of eyebrows if people would stir up the pot and try to pretend like there's something behind it. But I don't think it would raise a ton of eyebrows if he showed up as a part owner. I kind of feel like it's his duty.
That he's failing them by not being there?
Yeah. Is he failure might be too strong. Is he a silent partner?
Not too much silent about Tom Brady these days.
Or Peyton Manning, actually. Did you guys hear this fun story? I just kind of feel like Peyton Manning has heard about my new love for teaching college students and has decided, hey, that sounds fun. Maybe I'll do it too. He was, of course, a huge star, like the sun on the campus of the University of Tennessee, and everything else revolved around him his last couple years. Remember, he did stay for his senior year. Actually, Jay dug up that speech. Okay, even before we talk to you about Professor Manning. Do you think they have to call him Professor Manning? Like the Syracuse students have to call me Professor Lawrence?
That's what he is. He's Professor Manning.
Right, but yes. Is it disrespectful to call him anything else?
Unless he starts off the class saying, hey, guys, call me Peyton. Like, I don't want to be Professor Manning. But unless he says that, I'm calling him Professor Manning if I'm in that class.
Are you? Would you call me Professor Lawrence if you were in my class?
Yeah, of course.
You could actually help me teach the class. Okay. You could be a guest speaker at my class. What does that mean?
You need me.
Well, I don't need you. I talk the class just fine without you, but I think it might inject a little humor, insight into what it means to produce a successful radio show, no?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
On the national level. Anyway, I digress. Peyton Manning has decided he wants to be a professor. Well, I had to get used to the Syracuse students calling me Professor Lawrence because my boss, Olivia, in the sports department at Newhouse School, she won't allow students to use anything else but professor last name. So I had to get used to it because I would sign emails Amy. That's how I communicate with pretty much everyone, whether it's in the business or young people that I mentor. Just Amy. I'm not needing you to call me Ms. Lawrence or anything like that. And so they call me Professor Lawrence. Peyton Manning first, this is kind of a gem that Jay dug up when he was announcing his decision about his senior year in Knoxville.
I've had an incredible experience at the University of Tennessee with all the people I've met, learned from, and become friends with here. College football has been great to me. So have the people and the coaches and the players that I've played with the past 3 years. I also want to have a great experience in pro football. As difficult as it's been, I knew I couldn't make a bad decision. But I knew whatever decision I made had to be my own decision and nobody else's. I want to thank the people close to me, especially my mother and father, for allowing that to happen. I thoroughly researched the situation and gathered a great deal of information. I've asked dozens of people what they thought, and I prayed a lot about it also. I knew I wanted to be 100% sure of my decision. Somebody asked me this morning, what was the one thing that helped sway my opinion and helped me decide? Well, there wasn't one thing. It was just like when I signed here. It was just sort of a feeling. I made up my mind, and I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah! I love that. Also, do you notice how much thicker his southern accent as he's announcing his decision to stay put in Knoxville for his senior year? They go crazy.
I've had an incredible experience at the University of Tennessee with all the people I've met.
He sounds so different, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Wow, not as polished as he is now. And maybe that is the crux. That's why Tennessee has brought him on board, though I highly doubt it. It's much more about Peyton's connection to the university, his alma mater, and them wanting to capitalize on that. Because let's just say you're searching for a communication school. And you know Peyton Manning will be part of your class load if you go to Tennessee. The College of Communication and Information is bringing Manning on board as a professor of practice. We talking about practice.
All right, we're call pass plays. Block.
You think he'll drop some F-bombs like he did on NFL Films and on the sidelines? Oh my gosh. What are the chances he drops Omaha? Yes. Yes, that's it. I'm going to the University of Tennessee. I need to hear it from Peyton Manning in person.
Omaha! Omaha!
Oh my gosh, that's it. That would do it for me. If I was trying to choose between, say, Knoxville, Tennessee Orange, Volunteer Orange versus Syracuse Orange, and you could either have Professor Lawrence or Professor Peyton Manning who drops Omaha! I think I'm really good at what I do, but I would choose to go to the the University of Tennessee for their College of Communication and Information. But what does this mean, Jay? A professor of practice.
I don't know.
What are you talking about? Practice. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice.
We talking about practice.
Thank you. He will join. This is the description of his job. You ready? He will join select classes as a featured expert and work alongside the faculty to provide learning experiences. So in other words, it's probably practical application. And you know that Peyton now fancies himself as quite the broadcaster with the Monday Night Mannings. I mean, again, I watch the Monday Night Mannings. I would sign up. Maybe he will be an athlete that they get to interview. Maybe he will be part of a practice TV or radio broadcast. Or maybe he'll assign them projects. Maybe he'll bring them on board with he and Eli on the Monday Night Mannings.
What are the odds Eli shows up for a class?
Oh, I think the odds are high.
Can you imagine? Eli
and Peyton. Did you see what he tweeted?
No. Eli or Peyton?
Oh, no, Peyton. Does Peyton tweet? I don't think Peyton's on Twitter.
It's on TikTok. But,
okay, that's not the same thing.
He's active somewhere.
He is on TikTok, but I don't know how much he ticks or talks or talks. Eli posted in response to the news that Peyton is returning to teach classes as a but that teach may be strong. We don't know that he's teaching. He's collaborating. In other words, he's there to increase enrollment. No, I'm just kidding. He's gonna be a star.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because
he is a star everywhere he goes. He's also gonna be a guest. He's gonna pop in. A professor of practice. That's interesting. So Eli quotes the story and says, "Easy A!" Exclamation point. Easy A.
He's probably not wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
You think Peyton will be a tough professor?
No. I think that he will bring a wealth of experience and knowledge, though. Because what hasn't Peyton done in the media realm? He's got a production company. Mm-hmm. He's in front of the camera. He's now behind the camera. Think about what he's done in terms of the collaboration with this quarterback series on Netflix. Highly popular. You know that I think it was for ESPN Plus, he did that series, Peyton something somethings, I can't remember what it was called, where he met with different athletes and entertainers, high profile figures, and he would tell their story. Peyton's places.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, so
too,
he's done Monday Night Mannings, Peyton's Places, his production company, which is Omaha Productions, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
Omaha Productions. It also has produced different series now, so he does both. And just yet another reason and way that he and Tom Brady's lives are mirroring one another. Because, except for the marrying a supermodel thing, because that's what Tom Brady's doing too, a production company. It's also been highly successful. And we know that he does a bazillion commercials. Have you noticed, by the way, he's not hawking nearly as much as he used to? Probably because he's busy now, or maybe he just doesn't need the money anymore.
Yeah, I guess he's doing other things, and maybe he'll do more once the season ramps up.
Right, but he has been a commercial spokesperson.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a flair for the dramatic and definitely the comedic timing. He's a goof. And so he can bring, well, he takes himself pretty seriously, which is the difference between him and Eli on the Monday Night Mannings, is that Eli does not take it seriously at all. But they're great. And he's been doing this not just during his career, but he's been out, what now? It'll be 8 years, right? Because he retired after Super Bowl 50. So this will be 8 years, and he's still extremely relevant. Everywhere he goes, they put him on a microphone. I think he's a great resource of information in front of the camera, behind the camera, but also he can be a subject matter, and he can judge, at least be one judge, what works, what doesn't. And I just think it's great incentive. You can trot Peyton Manning into a classroom. You can promise the students that Peyton will be part of their class at some point during a semester. Don't tell me that as students at 18, 19 years old, that there are a lot of people, especially if they already have an affinity for the University of Tennessee, maybe they're local or they live in the state, and they're choosing among state schools. If you want to do communication and you can get in, why wouldn't you go there?
I would bet that class fills up in 10 seconds.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be multiple classes. So he's going to collaborate with different professors and in the communication school. I'm just telling you, if it was me and I was a student and I didn't care which color orange, I could pick Syracuse or I could pick Tennessee.
No question. Go get a chance to learn and hang out and learn from
Thank
Peyton
you,
Manning.
Jay. I got it.
Oh, I wasn't even comparing Peyton to your class. I would take your class, of course. But if I was between schools
thanks,
in Tennessee.
Jay. Yes. That's right. If you're a Tennessee native or you're a Tennessee resident and you can get state tuition, which these days college tuition is so unbelievably expensive, and you're studying communication, maybe you really don't have a preference, but Peyton Manning is take the bait. He's clickbait. He's academic clickbait.
Right.
That's what he is.
Even if it's for one semester, it would be worth it to me to go to that school, even for just a semester. That's all it was to take that course and get that knowledge.
Mm. I absolutely agree with you. And I think that it'll be a lot of fun for them and for him. And it's something new. I enjoyed my first foray into the academic world. And I'm looking forward to teaching again. It's a different side of sharing your knowledge and your experience. And I mean, seriously, what can't Peyton Manning do? It's a rhetorical question, but I think the answer is nothing. If he doesn't want, he can't stay quiet.
That's a good one.
Kind of like me.
I haven't seen him surf, but I'm sure he could do that if he wanted to.
Yeah. Who were we talking about last week that can do anything? Shoot, we were making a joke about Steph Curry. What can't
right,
Steph Curry
he's
do?
On stage, yeah.
Right. Not just that, but he golfs like a champion.
He's almost a pro.
Yeah, seriously, stop it. Why do you have to be so perfect? He's got three adorable kids and a gorgeous wife who's got her own cooking show and cookbooks.
Yeah.
And yeah. All right. Some people are just blessed. They're charmed. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, coming up, Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott both find new homes. So Dalvin is headed to the Jets. Zeke is actually also going to the AFC East. He will join the Patriots, both on one-year deals. So the rich there get richer. I mean, many of you are pointing to that division as the toughest in football this year. We'll see how it plays out. But we certainly know that these teams are lining up to play some tough physical football, and we know they have to control the trenches to be able to get ahead. So you'll hear from our Jets insider who joined us in the first hour of the show, a little bit of info on what the balance will look like in the Jets offense because they've got a lot of different mouths to feed. What else? Oh, we have to do the AFC version of QB News. Haven't gotten to that yet either. There's a lot happening. This is what we do. This time of the year, it's August only, and we start to get to the point where we just can't cover everything on the show. It's imposible. Jay, that was a good word, right? Would you like to use that? You can go ahead and try that.
I'm going to steal that one. Imposible.
Imposible. Imposible. Yeah. Okay, good morning. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Taking it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this process is about. You know, you kind of evaluate everything. You know, you don't skip the process of going through everything.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to, you know, go through one step at a time. And, you know, the Jets right at the top of the list. So let's go check the box.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dalvin Cook joined Good Morning Football in, would you say, mid-July, late July? He was waiting. He was content to wait. I guess you could say he bet on himself. He did not take the offer that the Minnesota Vikings had on the table, which was reportedly $7 million. But he has found a new home, though it took a little longer than what many expected. He and Ezekiel Elliott both agreeing to one-year contracts in the AFC East on Monday. So Dalvin getting up to $8.6 million. It's not double figures. It's not Derrick Henry money, or certainly not Christian McCaffrey money, not Nick Chubb money, but it's more than what was offered to him in Minnesota, the only other place he's known. And he's joining a team that has a very legitimate shot to be a contender this season. Ezekiel Elliott ends up with the Patriots. He's going to wear number 15, live for five or something is what he put on Twitter. So now the top two free agent running backs have found homes. There are still a couple others out there. Josh Jacobs doesn't have a contract, and so he's not with the Raiders. Still some conflict to resolve, but Dalvin Cook back in the fold, and this time with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback of the New York Jets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We were pleased to welcome Antoine Staley of the New York Daily News, first time joining the show, since we felt like it was a good chance to check in on the Jets in training camp and first asked him his reaction to Dalvin Cook signing with New York.
I think it's big. I think, you know, it's much needed for the Jets too as well, specifically because the unknown status of Breece Hall. I know Robert Saleh talked about Breece Hall being ready for the opener against the Buffalo Bills on September 11th, but, you know, the fact of the matter is he is not, you know, come off PUP list yet, and it's hard to know what he's going to look like, you know, once the September 11th comes around. If you look at the running backs and the history of ACL injuries, it's very good. It isn't a long list of guys that's had a lot of success. If you think about Saquon Barkley and him coming off that injury too as well, and it took him another year just to get back to form, I think it's good for the Jets to have extra security by signing a guy like Dalvin Cook, who's well established in the league.
What happened to the Jets' running game last year after Breece Hall got hurt?
I think it's a few things. I think one, obviously Hall getting hurt, I think that was big. And two, I think Elijah Vera Tucker going down, I think that was huge for them. You know, we're talking about a guy that played three different positions on the offensive line, which I think is so rare nowadays. And, you know, losing those guys in the same game against Denver, that really derailed their running game too as well. And, you know, Michael Carter, and I think Bam Knight, the son of a Knight, really gave them a little bit of a jolt late on in the season. But I also think the fact of the matter is they couldn't pass the ball effectively, you know, with Zach Wilson there, and then also brought a lot of defenders in the box. And I think that's also a culprit too. So I think it's a combination of those three things of why they couldn't do well and able to run the ball late last year.
Let's say that Breece Hall is even 80% of what he was last year or 70% of what he was last year. You have him as well as Dalvin Cook. The rest of the Jets have raved about Garrett Wilson. We saw what he did last year as the Offensive Rookie of the Year. How do they feed everyone, Antoine?
It's not a bad problem to have, to be honest with you. So I think it's just when you have a guy like Dalvin Cook, what you want to do is just, you know, feeding the ball early and often, and you're not going to necessarily rush Breece Hall back, as I talked about, you know, running backs in the history of coming off ACL injuries. He's only 22 years old. He's going to be the future of your team, so there's no point in rushing him back so quickly. And, you know, as long as Dalvin Cook's healthy, I know he's going to come and start practicing a week from now, just because he's still recovering from his shoulder injury, and also he's expecting his first child as well. So, yeah, I think if you just kind of split those carries up and still have a running back committee early on in the season against Buffalo and get those guys going, and I think, like I say, they're going to be explosive offensively. You talked about Garrett Wilson and also like Lyle Lazard too as well. It's a good problem to have here to Jets without Aaron Rodgers.
Mecole Hardman, also a Super Bowl champion. Corey Davis in there as well. And that's just at the wide receiver position. So when you think about the balance that they want to establish with the run versus the pass, what does it look like so far?
It's going to be mostly a passing team, I would expect, too. It's a lot of short passes, especially when you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who isn't far removed from winning back-to-back MVP awards too. And I also think, you know, they're going to play the high hands. It's going to be dependent on the opponent that they're playing and strategy and things of that nature too. It might be a team like the Buffalo Bills, who have a really good defense. You know, maybe they decide, you know, we want to rely more on the running game, and they decide to do that. And then, you know, you got the Dallas Cowboys the week after that, and maybe they decide, you know what, we want to go a little bit more pass friendly. It just depends on the opponent, and I think it's going to vary from week to week, too, depending on what they want to do.
Antoine Staley of the New York Daily News is with us talking Jets here on CBS Sports Radio and After Hours. Defense is expected to pick up where it left off last year. Tough, physical, hard-nosed. But I'd like to know, what are the expectations for Sauce Gardner in year number two?
Well, a lot of people thought he was one of the best corners in football. I think for him, he wants to be the very best in the game. And I think humbly, he'll tell you that he's not there yet, because you have to do it from year after year. But ultimately, that's his goal, and that's what he's striving to do, and to be the best cornerback in football. We're talking about a guy that I don't know if I've seen too many rookies come in and do what he did as a rookie in his first year, being a first-team All-Pro, Pro Bowl, arguably one of the best defensive players in the game, and coaching staff and the players believe it's another level that he can reach to. And I'm curious to see what that other level was, because, you know, he was damn near good last year for the Jets. Next to Quentin Williams, I think he was their best defensive player.
The expectations obviously are so different this season. They've been building toward this point where they can finally be a winning team. But they're in a tough division, Antoine. Buffalo was 13-3 last year, one of the top teams in the AFC. We know about Miami making the playoffs the first year with Mike McDaniel, and that's even with a revolving door at quarterback. The Patriots still have Bill Belichick, though they're trying to figure out things. What are your impressions of the AFC East now as we head into 23?
I think it's going to be probably the toughest division in the AFC. I mean, yeah, I know a lot of people would look at the West too, and I know that was the big talk last year before the Broncos failed to live up their expectations too. But yeah, I think the Patriots are going to be, you know, they have a great defense, they have a really good offensive line, and as you talked about, Bill Belichick is there. I think they can still win, you know, probably 7 or 8 games too, and make some teams in the division's life is difficult. I think Miami, it's all on Tua. If Tua can stay healthy, I think the Dolphins are going to be explosive and a team to watch, and possibly a team that can contend for the division. You know, Buffalo's there, won the division 3 years in a row. I don't know how much better they are compared to some of the other teams in the division. But, you know, I think with the Dalvin Cook signing, I think the Jets have a legit shot to win the division. I really do. And how they hold up in the AFC, I still think the Chiefs and the Bengals are tier one. But, you know, the Jets, depending on how they start out with it, because they had a brutal schedule to begin the season, I definitely think they could be a team right under both of those teams.
They really do. And after we talked about the AFC East, I picked apart the Jets' schedule a little bit. The way they start out, especially opening month of the season where, you know, teams are still trying to get acclimated, when there are a lot of changes. And I'm not really referring to Aaron necessarily, though it, you never know, it could be a bumpy entry for him as well. But he and Nathaniel Hackett, so new system, new voice, new terminology, new cadence, new pretty much everything with the two of them taking over the offense. And then you've got Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, who may be familiar with Aaron and Nathaniel, but not with the rest of the Jets. Garrett Wilson, Dalvin Cook, whenever Breece Hall comes back, I hope it's week number one. A couple of different tight ends. I mean, this is a mix that comes from far and wide. And while I do think they'll be a winning team this season, barring any significant injuries, the road will not be easy. It is a challenging one. They start out with the Bills, then on the road at Dallas, home to the Patriots, whom they haven't beaten in how long? It's been a long time. And then against the Chiefs. Those are their first four games. Now, three of them are at MetLife Stadium. Bills, Cowboys, Patriots, Chiefs, before they play the Broncos. It's in Denver, okay, so I'm not telling you it's going to be a tough game, but it is on the road in Denver, and then they take on the Eagles. Oh, okay, is that all? Before they face the Giants at MetLife, a playoff team last year. So they've got the three NFC East teams that made the playoffs in the winter, last winter, all in the first month and a half, plus the Super Bowl champions and the Bills. Okay, if they come out of that with a winning record, I will be a believer. Jay thinks they might go 0-4 to start the season.
No, I didn't say that.
You said, what if they go 0-4?
I just said, imagine if they do. I mean, it's possible. That schedule
it is.
That's
anything's
a gauntlet.
Possible.
That's crazy. But I just think...
Okay, for the sake of argument then, they've got three of those four games at home. Let's play a little guessing game. How many of them do they win? Bills at Cowboys, Patriots, Chiefs.
It's tough to say that the Jets are going to come out and beat the Bills week one. I'm going to say they do, but the Bills have shown it. The Jets haven't. So,
Are you going to say they do?
Because the hype, Rodgers. I'll buy it. So I'll give them the week one win there over the Bills. I think.
Okay.
Who we got next after the Cowboys?
At Cowboys. Yep.
I think I want to give them the win there too.
Why?
I don't know. I have no speculation of anything. It's just week nothing. So I'll give the Jets the win there.
All right.
Patriots, I'll give them that win too, but I don't think they're going to be the Chiefs. So I think in the first four, they'll be 3-1.
All right.
But I just said, imagine if they are 0-3.
I mean, I think 2-2 would be...
That would be close to disastrous.
They can't be... I don't think so. It's the AFC.
Fear.
Really, no team is coming out of the AFC without battle scars. And if this is what it takes for the Jets to get acclimated quickly, well, then let's go.
I just mean more from like the media standpoint in the New York area, how they're going to get destroyed.
That matters nothing at all to us.
Oh, no. But I mean...
Who cares?
You know, the team might think otherwise.
I don't think so. I feel like with Aaron Rodgers, he's pretty used to that. And it is the Jets. The Jets are used to being the center of attention for better or for worse, sometimes more for comic relief. And they're all in. It's Super Bowl or bust. Pressure is a privilege.
It's just a honeymoon phase at the moment. And I could see that going the other way if things don't.
I don't think it'll affect them, though. I don't think. I mean, they've had so much attention over this Zach Wilson experiment.
True.
It's been a total disaster. And yet they survived. And now look at them. They're collecting veterans.
Good point.
It's like the LA Lakers. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, too. Glad to connect with you on what is now a Tuesday morning. I feel like it's a Monday. It's not. So there's that. We've got the AFC version of QB News straight ahead, coming off of the first weekend of the NFL preseason officially. You know you want to hear from Patrick Mahomes. Who doesn't? Super Bowl champions. They get to do whatevs they want.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City. And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Oh, yeah. It's that time of the year again where there's a lot happening, so we actually need more than one segment for QB News. We're obsessed with our quarterbacks, which would explain the success of the Peyton Manning-produced series on Netflix entitled simply Quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, the star of that show, along with Kirk Cousins, and then, I guess, opposite end of the spectrum, the whole Marcus Mariota. But can I just say for a second how brilliant it is that those are the three quarterbacks that got chosen, because their stories were so different last season. Mahomes, even with the ankle injury, ends up as an MVP, a record-setting MVP, a Super Bowl champion again. Kirk Cousins had a fantastic year. So did the Vikings, but they flame out in a blaze of you-know-what in the playoffs. And then... what happens with Marcus Mariota? He has the starting job, but he loses the starting job, and then he gets cut. I mean, they run the gamut. You couldn't ask for a more eclectic mix, so it's pretty impressive.
Marcus Mariota.
Yes, and Patrick Mahomes, he was on Sirius XM NFL Radio talking about what he loved most about the series.
I think I was most proud about how people got to see how I balance being a football player, being a dad, and being a husband. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that we all do in this league, and is you spend so much time at the facility, if you're a coach, if you're a player, GM, whatever that is, but you want to make sure you have that time with your family as well. And people got to see my family and see how much supportive Brittany is and how supportive our whole family is of me, and see that we're all in for Kansas City and we want to go out there and win Super Bowls every single year.
I tell you what, seeing them behind the scenes adds a different element to our knowledge of these guys. I love seeing Kirk Cousins with his kids. I mean, he's a funny dude. He really is. So we'll see who signs up for season number 2. Hasn't been revealed yet, but we know there are guys who are considering it. The Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to be one of the top competitors for the Chiefs in their AFC supremacy, though Joe Burrow has not been playing since he injured his calf going back to, what, first couple days of training camp. And head coach Zach Taylor of the Bengals admits he's fighting the urge to get him back on the field. And would you like me to go or he would go? Would you like me to go? He go. You go. I'll go. He goes. Just all that to say that even if it's not week one, they recognize big picture is more important with Joe.
I think that's where the experience starts to kick in. Yeah. Having just seen a lot of things over 5 years, you know it's a long season. You know there's going to be adversity, big and small, short-term, long-term, and just got to manage it as best you can. And again, we've got a great group of guys around me that help me. And so, you know, it's a good thing that we got going right now.
Will you talk or do I talk? Do you talk or should I talk? No, you go. You go. It's like when I was doing my Syracuse Zoom call last week and the moderator, who I could not see, for some reason he was out of my line of vision. Three times we started talking at the same moment and it was awful and it was awkward and the students finally started laughing. So I said, you go. You talk. Go.
I guess I put the wrong one on.
Uh-huh. Joe Burrow, we'll see you soon, Joe. Ja'Marr Chase actually was not thrilled with the way that his quarterback was running around pregame this weekend and not protecting his calf.
I didn't even know that was happening until I seen it on social media. I feel like everyone in the locker room probably said the same thing. So, like I said, before all this happened and before we even got this far, I said he's hard-headed. You know what I'm saying? I already know this is going to happen. He just want to do stuff to make sure he's good. But I know how he is. He's a person that's going to push himself to the best, and you know what I'm saying? He's not going to let his teammates down. That's one thing about Joe.
He's hard-headed. On SiriusXM NFL Radio, the Bengals talking about their star quarterback, and of course they want to have him on the field again, but it's a long, long season. A long season.
That's why I say he's hard-headed.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Russell Wilson was actually on the field in preseason week one along with a lot of the Broncos starters in Sean Payton's debut. I mean, there was some good news and there was some bad news. He did connect with Jerry Jeudy for a touchdown pass.
We really wanted to have, you know, get some drives in there. I thought, you know, we knew we were going to try to get 15, 18 plus plays somewhere in there. And I thought that was a really good how we responded. You know, after the first drive, we really responded. The ball started moving. Third drive, and then fourth drive, obviously, we finished it off. I thought that was a really great route by Jerry. You know, good job by him just getting open there on a split second. They brought all pressure, and he just did a great job of winning and getting a touchdown there for us, and that was big.
I don't care about scores in preseason. It's against my religion to even pass them along. I barely look at them myself. But I did notice this about the Cardinals. Actually, someone brought it to my attention. Did you see that Kyler Murray in a recent practice was wearing a halter top? And not just that, but it's a crop halter top. I'm just going to say it. It looks like a sports bra. Kyler Murray's wearing on top at a practice nothing but a sports bra. It looks like something that I would wear as part of my bathing suit or underneath my tank top when I work out.
I thought it was a sports bra at first glance, to be honest.
Why? Am I missing something? Does he have man boobs?
I don't think so.
Is he out of shape?
It doesn't look it to me.
Well, then why does he need to be wearing a crop halter top / sports bra at practice?
Maybe they're in right now?
For men?
I don't know.
Am I just completely out of touch and so uncool? Okay, I need to hear from some male listeners out there. I know we have plenty. Anybody else out there wear a sports bra to work out in? It just seems so, what's the point? It must be a fashion statement. There's no way it's anything else because men don't generally need sports bras.
No.
Why even bother?
Especially
either wear a
athletes.
Full tank top or just don't wear anything at all on top.
Or a practice jersey.
Right, you could wear a practice jersey.
You know, at practice.
I don't get it. But he's much richer and much cooler than I am. So people tell me, and that's fine.
I'm flattered.
I'm not cool at all. All right, let's talk about some of the youngins, if you will. Jalen Petre is a safety with the Houston Texans. D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud making their debut this weekend. And Jalen loves what he saw from C.J.
C.J. is wise beyond his years. I feel like he's a guy that knows the game of football, and he's not like stuck in his ways either. He's, you know, always, you know, looking to learn new things. And I think the biggest thing that I take from him on a day-to-day sitting in the locker room is he's a competitor. He's a guy that's going to talk trash. He's a guy that's going to try to be the first in the building. Like, a lot of those little things that people don't see is, you know, very evident when you get to be with him on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I'm very confident in CJ, and, you know, I'm glad that he's on my team.
If that move pays off, man, the Houston Texans, they're going to make quicker progress than what many expect. He's not the only rookie that got some time this weekend. We heard from Bryce Young earlier. How about Anthony Richardson, who got the start for the Indianapolis Colts, and Shane Steichen?
It was fun, you know, just playing football again. That was fun, getting back in the groove. I think I had two or three drives, and the first drive wasn't the best, you know, turnover. You know, we want to try to limit those as best as possible, you know, try to, you know, just find a way to manage it instead of trying to force it to be Superman. But, you know, learning experience for everybody, and just first experience overall, I feel like it was pretty good.
I thought he was efficient. He threw some good balls. He was calm in the pocket. Hit Granson over the middle, threw a nice deep ball to Pierce. A lot of good there.
Shane Steichen, we'll see whether or not they hitch their wagon to Anthony Richardson's star. It's going to be this rookie head coach and the rookie quarterback, similar to what it was in Arizona when Cliff Kingsbury and, now he was hired out of college, but Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray came in together. That didn't end so well. But let's be optimistic, because, you know, there's nothing that you can say about the Colts if we're not pointing to their quarterback situation as being so unbelievably stable.
This is a Gen Z thing.
Think about the number of quarterbacks the Colts, the Commanders, the Panthers have been through. Do you know between those three teams in the last couple years, maybe, let's say 3 years, those three teams have probably used more quarterbacks combined than, say, half of... We could go through entire divisions in the NFL that have not used as many quarterbacks in the last 3 years as those three teams. If they could just find some stability at quarterback. So easy to say, and yet so hard to do. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.